pray together. Gracious and Holy One, as we gather together around your word in Scripture, we do pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, for you alone are our rock, our refuge, and our redeemer. And we offer these prayers to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Today is Maundy Thursday, the day before Good Friday, and as such, it is the day in the cycle of the Passion narrative when Jesus gathered with his friends and his followers for what we know as the Last Supper. What happened that night is now the basis for the central sacrament of the Christian faith, the breaking of bread, the sharing of wine, the remembrance of what Christ accomplished for us and for the world. But it is interesting to strip back some of the sacramental dimensions of this story to try to get to the meaning that is in the story rather than all of the accretions that we have invested in it, to ponder it in simpler terms. And to do so, it's interesting for any one of us to ask ourselves one simple question. If we knew that tomorrow was going to be our last day in the world, with whom would we want to spend that last evening, that last gathering, that last meal? For many of us, the people who we would want to share that final meal with would be those who mean the most to us, our most beloved friends and family members. Perhaps we'd make arrangements to travel to them if they are far away, or perhaps they would travel to be with us. We would choose our favorite foods. We would make special efforts to set aside any other commitments that might take up our time. We'd probably want to share thoughts and memories of great times that we had spent together. We would laugh. Perhaps we would shed a tear or two. And we would know that we were, on that last supper together, surrounded by loved ones. That would be our choice. But Jesus' Last Supper, as we all know, was different. Yes, he chose to spend that time with friends or those who had considered themselves to be his friends. But the gospel writer is clear in suggesting that Christ knew all the while that those with whom he chose to share that meal were not the types of friends that any one of us would ever want to truly have. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." Jesus seemed to know full well that those with whom he chose to share that meal, those who joined him at that table, would betray him. They would abandon him. They would deny that they even knew him within hours of being around that table. They would hand him over to those who would kill him, and then they would flee into the night. And yet those were the ones that Jesus chose to eat with on that last night of his life. Not exactly who I'd want to choose to share my last meal with, and not who most of you would want to choose to share your last meal with. But then again, we're not Jesus. And what he chose to do is actually good news for each one of us, even today. Because we too are called to join him at that table, just as his erstwhile fair-weather friends were called. We too are called to join him at the table, not because we've been faithful to him any more than his first disciples were faithful to him, but because we haven't. We too are called to join him at this table, not because we've done anything to deserve to come to this table, but in spite of the fact that we actually don't deserve to share this meal with him. It's fairly easy to judge Judas Iscariot for his actions in this Maundy Thursday, Good Friday cycle of stories. It's pretty easy to point the finger at Peter for his threefold denial, or to wonder how Jesus' supposed friends could so quickly and so easily desert him. But it's better for us to see our lives in light of their actions, to realize that we betray him, that we betray his call and his claim upon our lives, to realize that we deny him, not only in our actions, but sometimes even in our words, and our priorities, and our allegiances, and our commitments, and the things that we live for, and our attitudes. It's good for us to realize that like those first followers, we love following Jesus when his power is at work on our behalf, or when things seem to be going well, But then when things are not going quite as smoothly, or when he doesn't seem to be doing what we want him to do, or what we expect him to do, we are as likely to walk away from him and to scatter into the night as his first followers and disciples chose to do. And he knows that. Just as he knew what was going to happen to him and what those who shared that first table with him were about to do. And yet, he called them anyways to join him at that table, just as he calls each one of us. Because what we're called to remember when we come to this table and break this bread and share this cup is that he did all of this out of love for the undeserving, for those who had not merited, who had not done anything to earn the love that he was showing to them. He did all of this to reveal the forgiving grace of a God of love, and forgiveness actually can only be extended to those who know they have sinned. He did all of this to show his disciples in the world and to each one of us that betrayal and denial and fear and suffering and sin and death itself could not and cannot and shall never undermine the power and the reality of the love of Almighty God. So I'd like to conclude today with words of invitation that are drawn from a book called Devotional Services for Public Worship. It's written by John Hunter, who served as a Congregationalist minister in Glasgow and in London in the late 18th and early 19th centuries. His words remind us in a beautiful way that the invitation to come to this table is not because of our goodness, not because of our faithfulness, but because there is one who prepared this table at the cost of his life for his followers so long ago, and it is he who prepares it for us today. Hunter wrote, "Come to this sacred table, not because you must, but because you may. Come to testify not that you are righteous, but that you sincerely love our Lord Jesus Christ and desire to be his true disciples. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because you have any claim on heaven's rewards, but because in your frailty and sin, you stand in constant need of heaven's mercy and help. Come not to express an opinion, but to seek a presence and pray for a spirit. And now that the supper of the Lord is spread before you, lift up your minds and hearts above all selfish fears and cares. Let this bread and this wine be to you the witnesses and signs of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Before the throne of the Heavenly Father and the cross of the Redeemer, make your humble confession of sin, consecrate your lives to the Christian obedience and service, and pray for strength to do and to bear the holy and blessed will of God. Thanks be to God, and amen."